Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Our Lord and our God, we bless and we exalt your name. Jehovah God, thank you for the privilege to come in here once more and sit at your feet. Father, we pray this evening that as your words come, that all other voices will fade away. Those things that we have been taught that are not of you, that, Lord God, that it will be erased from our memory. That, Father, Lord, that the word we hear will be a word of transformation, a word of upgrade, a word that will lift us from where we are to where you have desired us to be, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless and we exalt your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Can have your seat. Hillsong, watch out. Hillsong, watch out. Here comes GWC. Yes, we are on our way. It's been prophesied and it will come to pass. A time will come that we will be the biggest music producers among in the Christian world. A time will come, like it's been prophesied, that we'll be the biggest church in Europe. We will be the biggest church in England. The word has come and it will not fall to the ground. The enemy will not stifle it in the mighty name of Jesus. We are still in the month of upgrade. It's been a beautiful month. It's been a wonderful month. The word of God has just kept pouring. I don't know about you, I absolutely loved Bible Week. Couldn't wait. I was supposed to be in a meeting at work, and they were going to give me a day in lieu of the meeting, and I thought about it. I said, a day in lieu to do what? I told them, no, I'm not attending that meeting that evening. I have something to do, and I'm so glad I made that decision. It's nothing I regret at all. I hope each and every one of us that was present has taken something away from it. And I'm going to continue in that line. It's our month of upgrade. And I believe that God is set to upgrade you. That's always been the plan of God, to upgrade you and I. That's why he made us to have dominion over everything. That's why he's the glory and the lifter of our head. That's why he says when others are saying there's a shaking down, there will be a lifting up for us. And he's giving us a lot of examples in the Bible. We know about the shepherd boy that became the great king of Israel. Up till now, his name is still there in Israel, hopefully. For all of us that are going in February, you will see it. He gave us example of Joseph, a foreigner. A man in prison that was lifted to become a prime minister, because that's the work our God does. We had the example, our scripture, Daniel 2:48, that said it. That God made the king upgrade Daniel to become, that's a captive, a slave in a foreign land. God upgraded him to become an administrator over the land of Babylon. God is still in the business of no upgrading. He upgraded Paul. He boasted. He said, "I was a lawyer. He was part of the leadership. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He had a passion. He was doing everything." You and I will look at Paul and we will say, "God, that young man has arrived. He has everything." But God saw his passion and said, "This, if he continues the way he's going, he will not end up very well." So God upgraded him. His passion for killing Christians, God gave him another passion to rescue, to save. And you and I are still linked to what he has, what he sowed, what he has planted. So it's just to explain that God really, really is in the business of upgrading. The Bible tells us that the world is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. That's because we are supposed to be up there and others behind, you know, seeking to be. But today, I'm going to be speaking on what I've titled Tapping into the Prophecy of Upgrade. Tapping into the prophecy of upgrade. Because ours is a prophetic word. Ours is not just upgrade. It's a prophetic word. It's a word that was sent by God. And when God sends a word, he also gives us a sense of responsibility of what we need to do and what we need to know to be able to really step up to where he wants us to be. So that's why when he sent a word to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, he told them, he said, I've heard your cry, so that I'm going to liberate you from Egypt. He didn't send the angels to lift them. He's more than able to do that. He didn't send a spaceship to lift them from Egypt to the land flowing with milk and honey. He gave them, he had the responsibility to migrate out of Egypt, to go through the desert, and to go to conquer people to get to where God has programmed them, has destined them to be. So though he sent his word, there's no doubt about it, he sent his word this month, the month of upgrade. What you will experience this month is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. What God is trying to tell you, that you and I can live a life of upgrade until he calls us home. So don't think, oh, I haven't seen my upgrade, I haven't received my upgrade by 30th of September, that is it. No. We all have our seasons, we all have our time. But what he's telling you this month, the prophetic word is that you and I will be upgraded. We will be upgraded, but we just need to follow God's instructions. And that's what we've been doing since the beginning of the month. So today I'm going to talk about Ruth in the book of Ruth. So if I can just have the book Ruth it's in the Old Testament. It's a little book. And I'm going to talk about Ruth the Moabite, how she tapped into the prophecy and how God upgraded her. Her upgrade is not, when you think about it, it's not so glaring. It's not like, oh, David, he was sitting there, he was in the farm, he was in the bush taking care of the sheep and the goats, and then God just lifted him to the palace. No, hers is very subtle, but very clear, very clear, very prominent. And so I'm going to be talking mainly about Ruth. Ruth, like I said, is a Moabite, which means Ruth is not an Israelite. She was from the tribe of the Moab. The Moabites are descendants of Lot. The incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughter produced the Moabites. So they didn't come from something that was of God. It wasn't a godly thing at all. But Ruth was from that lineage. She was a Moabite. And if you read the book, it's only four chapters. They keep telling you, Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the Moabite. What happened was that a lady called Naomi and her husband, they are Jews, they are Israelites. They left Bethlehem because there was a famine. I've always wondered why they left, because Bethlehem meets the land of bread. But they migrated from the land that God has given to them. God has established them to go to a foreign land in Moab. Again, that was against everything God had instructed right from the beginning. And then, while they were there, their sons married the women from Moab. And God was very clear that the Israelites must marry within themselves. Again, that was a breach of God's instruction. So they married. Her sons married these two ladies. And then disaster after disaster, the husband died, her two sons died, leaving her with two young ladies without children. So Ruth's life, when you look at it, was really, really tragic. She was down and out. They were still hungry. Even when they were in Moab, they were still hungry, they were still poor. And then she had an encounter and God upgraded her. How did God upgrade Ruth? In very different ways from the others. First of all, I'll touch on that later. God upgraded Ruth spiritually. She was from Moab, a set of people that were worshiping other gods. They were not worshiping Jehovah, God Almighty, the true God. They had their gods. So first of all, God upgraded her spiritually. She moved from worshiping other gods to accepting God as her God. So she was upgraded spiritually. Then secondly, God upgraded Ruth emotionally. She was a poor woman. She was young. Her husband was dead. She had no... The future looked bleak. And so she was emotionally... She was an emotional wreck. But God upgraded her and gave her marital bliss at the end. She got married and she had children. So it was an upgrade because in those days, if you were a widow, except there is a direct sibling, you were never going to get married because they had something called the redeem. You had to redeem that person. So if your husband didn't have a brother, that was it. You were going to be a widow all your life. So God upgraded her. Not only did she stop being a widow, he gave her a child. He gave her children. So upgraded her emotionally, maternally, and in marriage. And then God upgraded her. She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Her son, Obed, is the father of Jesse. And Jesse is the father of King David. And we know that Jesus' line is traced to King David. This was a foreigner. This was a Moabite. Somebody who was not an Israelite. But God upgraded her to the extent that she is part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And she is one of the two people, females in the Bible, that have names named after them. God ensured that we will never forget her. Mary, the mother of Jesus, no book is named after her. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, very prominent, no book is named after her. But only Esther and Ruth are the two people that have the book in the Bible named after her. So God upgraded her in such a way that made sure Psalm 115:14 reflects in her life that God will upgrade her more and more, and her children and her children's children. And she experienced that. And you and I can do that if we just settle down and listen and follow God's instruction. So what was so special about Ruth? Why did God single her out to upgrade her in such a huge, huge way? First of all, Ruth received the word. Ruth chapter 1, verse 6. Ruth received a word. Ruth chapter 1, thank you. Then she arose with her daughters in law that they might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So Naomi heard it. So she told her two daughters-in-law, we're going to move from here and we're going back to the land of bread. So Ruth heard that word and she keyed into it. She made a conscious decision to hold on to that word of going to a place where God has visited. So the Bible tells us that Naomi, her mother-in-law, tried to discourage her, but she clung on to Naomi. You and I heard a word on Trumpet Night. You heard that word again on the next Sunday. We heard the prophetic word throughout the Bible week. We heard it again last Sunday, and we're hearing it again. How have you received the word? Ruth received her word without being cynical about it. But the word has come. How did you receive it? Were you cynical? So another trumpet night or another word. Did you receive that word and to that girl? No, that's not for me. I don't need an upgrade. I'm old now. I don't really need an upgrade. I'm happy where I am. But the Bible tells us that you will be fruitful in old age. And that was what I told my son when he told me. Yesterday he came, sat next to me, and said, Mom, I said, yes, I said, you know, it's the month of upgrade. I said, oh, yes, I know. He said, I need an upgrade. I said, why? Where? He said, I need an upgrade. I need to upgrade my phone. I said, I said, your phone? He said, yeah, but Dad said I can't upgrade it till next year. I said, that's what Dad said. You can't upgrade it. He said, yeah, I need to upgrade my phone to your phone. I said, if you upgrade, my phone is higher than his. I said, if you upgrade your phone to my phone, that means I'm downgrading. And then you're upgrading. And then he goes, Mom, don't you understand? You're old, one. Two. He said, two, you don't use all the facilities. All you do is phone text and read your books on it. He said, me, I know how to. He said, it's a faster processor, so I need it. It has better camera. You know, it's for the young. And I looked at him. I said, the Bible says that we'll be fruitful in old age. I'm keeping my phone. So that's what I did. So that's what I said to him. So that's what I'm saying is, how did you receive the word that came? Did you receive it with unbelief? Did you receive it with belief? It depends on how you receive it will tell on how much upgrade you will receive. Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 16, said, I received the word of God and I ate it. It doesn't mean that he took the paper and started chewing it. It means when the word came, I deciphered it, I looked at it, I went to research it, and I found a way that it would be part and parcel of my life. It's the same thing. The word came on trumpet night. Did you just take it like that? Oh, it's a month of upgrade. Daniel 2:48. Well, have you researched more and more, and find a way? You already know what Daniel did to get that upgrade. What of other people in the Bible? A lot of people were upgraded. Peter, the apostle, they were only fishing fish, but they were upgraded from fishing fish to fishing human beings. It's an upgrade. So we need, when the word comes, we need to buy into it. Ruth made a conscious decision to follow through on the word. No matter what Naomi, her mother-in-law, her negativity, trying to tell them, just go back, I can't give you children, I can't do this, Ruth clung to her. She had heard that word, that God has visited a certain people, and she wanted to be part and parcel of that. The sister-in-law also received and heard that word. It didn't take a lot of conviction or convincing for her to say, yeah, I think I like the status quo. I will remain here in hunger, childless, and a widow. I'm happy where I am. So it's the same thing. It reflects to us now. Are you going to cling to the word? Are you going to accept the word and not let the word distract you? Don't let yourself distract you. I can imagine you telling people outside, particularly unbelievers, even believers, telling them, whoa, it's a month of upgrade. I'm going to be upgraded. And they will look at you and say, have you listened to the news? Have you heard about Brexit? Have you heard about recession? We don't know what is going to happen. The country doesn't know if it's going left or right. And you're talking about upgrade. And gradually they sow a seed. And they start taking the word, start choking the word out of you. Even you can choke the word out of yourself. I'll be telling myself, man, I'm just a cleaner. What chances do I have that I will be upgraded? What chances? I'm not educated enough. I don't even have papers to remain in this country. And you start telling yourself, seeing all the negative side, all the reasons why that word, why you're not receiving the word, and pushing the word away. And you, in the end, the person becomes like offer the sister-in-law. And gradually, aside from that chapter 1. We never heard about her again. We don't know what happened to her. She's just obliterated from the book. So we need to be like Ruth. We need to be like Paul. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And again, 1 Timothy 4:10. 1 Timothy 4:10 also tells us, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Don't let your circumstance take your eyes away from the word. Focus on it and focus on Jesus. He's more than able. He did it for Ruth. He will do it for you. And another thing is identity. Who are you? And when I say identity, I don't mean bringing out your driver's license or your passport and say, this is me, Angela Ogbe. No. How do you see yourself? How do you label yourself? You know, Ruth was labeled as the Moabite woman, a broke woman, a widow, and a childless woman. That is without hope, without future. A lot of us are like that. The way we label ourselves is how we identify. Your identity, in this sense, is how do you see yourself? Because the way how you see yourself can determine what upgrade you are going to receive. If you just see yourself, Angela the bus driver, you will never own a bus. But you can be Angela the bus driver with a dream and a vision to have a bus company. If you see yourself like that, you will walk in that sphere. Ruth was like that. She knew that the land where she was going to, her identity was very key and was very fundamental. If she went to Bethlehem with how she's known as a Moabite, that serves other gods, that's poor, poverty-stricken, nothing, that's the way they will look at her. And that was what happened when they got there. There was a staring at, oh, Ruth has come back with her daughter-in-law, without her sons, no grandchildren, nothing. But in first chapter, Ruth made a decision. Again, it was her decision to change her identity. She didn't want to be known as Ruth the Moabite again alone, just Moabite. That's why when Naomi told her, when her mother-in-law told her, you have to go back. You have to go back. No, she didn't want to go back. She had heard the word, and she wanted to tap into that provision, the provision of God, that God that visits his people and provides for them. She wanted that with everything that belonged to her. If it meant changing her identity, she was going to do that. And that's what she told her mother-in-law in chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth 1, verse 16. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. So first of all, she was renouncing her identity as a Moabite. And your God shall be my God. So she changed her identity. And as soon as she declared those words, that your God shall be my God, that she was letting go of those gods that are made out of wood and stone made by human hand, and was surrendering and giving her life to Jehovah God Almighty, there was a shift in the spirit world. People can still see her as a Moabite, but God no longer saw her as a Moabite. God now saw her as one of the chosen. She was now an Israelite in the eyes of God. So she had now positioned herself in a place where she could receive from God. So first and straight away, she was upgraded spiritually. Spiritually, she was no longer a Moabite. In the eyes of God, the creator of you and I, she was now part of his people because she has consciously changed her identity. And from there, because she changed her identity and surrendered to God and given her life to and has accepted God, her destiny changed. God saw her and her destiny changed, and things begin to shift. God begin to orchestrate her life in the way that she could never have imagined or she would never have thought about. Things change when you change your identity. Don't sit down and just say, oh, that's in my family, or this is that, or we don't do it. That never happens to us. We are never, in my family, no, if nobody has ever been rich. In my family, no. Don't do that. In my family, people are not intelligent. You know, I came across a lady this week, and I went to see her as part of the work I do, and she looked really fit, and she looked really young. And she was going, I'm so tired. I'm going, oh, why? She said, oh, I'm 71. And I go, wow, you don't look 71 at all. She said, oh, in my family, we don't live long. Okay? You're 71. In your family, you don't live long, 71. He said, yes. He said, I'm just waiting for them to carry me out in a box. You're 71. Why are you thinking like that? He said, oh, my mom died at 51. My dad died at 61. My son died at 35. My grandchild died at 14 months. If I'm not careful, my daughter will go, so it better they take me out in the box. I'm going, what on earth? What a mindset. Why are you accepting it? I know she's not a believer, but even if you're not a believer, at least you've been spared to 71. Why do you think, why are you not counting the days that they will take you out in a box? Please don't. If you have that mind, you need to change. When you change your identity, your mindset changes. Instead of doing the negative, you start relying on the positive. So it's really very important that we change our identity, because a lot of us, we are believers. We're born again. It's very easy for us when God touches our heart to accept salvation. But there are things that we don't, the things, the package, the benefit that comes with salvation on earth, a lot of us don't buy into it. That's why when a prophetic word comes, we don't believe that it's going to happen. But God has said, when he sends a word, it will never fall to the ground. God has said that we will fly like eagles. He said, God is more than able to do that. But until we change our identity and change the way we view ourselves and start viewing ourselves through the eyes of God, seeing ourselves the way God sees us, that upgrade is going to be very limited. We serve a God that has no limit. But when we put a limit to it, there's so much that we can get to. So I want us to try and key into the identity. We are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing that is impossible for God. There's nothing that he cannot do for us. What is that mountain before Zerubbabel? God is ready to level it. Don't limit yourself to an identity that God did not give to you. Another thing, again, I want to, it's determination. Determined. Ruth was a determined young lady. In Ruth 1:16-18, the Bible tells us there that Ruth was determined. When a prophetic word comes, we have to be determined to get into it. David was determined. If David wasn't determined, he would never have been king. Saul would have taken him out. If not Saul, Absalom was ready to take him. His children were ready to take him. But his determination kept him there. A word has come. We have to be determined. No matter what people say, no matter what the circumstance looks like, challenges will come because that's part of life. Like Pastor said, not last Sunday, I think the Sunday before, he said things that we see as challenges are probably things that God has put there because he wants to upgrade us. When Ruth's husband died, I'm sure she thought it was the end of the world. But if her husband had not died, I'm not wanting anybody's husband to die. No, I don't mean like that. I'm just using Ruth. She would never have been in a position to marry Boaz. And then she would never have had Obed, who was now the father of Jesse and the father of David. So at times, challenges, instead of weakening us, should make us stronger. Because God has a greater purpose and a greater destiny for us. The Bible tells us that Ruth was determined. No matter what Naomi, her mother-in-law, said, she was determined. I'm going. That land where God visits people, I have to be part of it. I'm going. And the Bible says she was determined and she got there. And when she got there, she got an upgrade. How determined you are is part and parcel of how much upgrade you will get. In career, for example, if I use career, for example, if you believe and you trust that your upgrade is to be a director in a particular company, it doesn't matter how many no's they say. It doesn't matter how many times you apply and they say you are not good enough. But because a word has come and you have keyed into it, continue. Your determination will speak for you later. Your determination will speak for you. Don't be discouraged. Determined. Be determined to get to where you need to get to. Proactive. Ruth was very proactive and she was very resourceful. She just didn't hear that, oh, God visits and provides bread for his people, so I'm going to go there. So that manna will fall from sky for me to eat. Manna has stopped. The days of manna has gone. You have to work for it. And Pastor Dr. Robert told us that you have to. You have to work for it to come. I remember a few years ago, I went to see a man because he was in rent arrears. He was an immigrant into this country. So, and they gave him a house. Never bothered to sort out his housing benefit. Never bothered to pay rent. Knock, knock, yeah, I'm from this company. I say, yes. So I'm here because you haven't paid rent. I said, they don't pay rent in England. I said, really? He said, yes, that's why I came. That's why, do you know where I'm coming? He was from Iran or somewhere, Afghanistan, one of these. That's why it took that long journey, because we've been told that in England, they don't pay rent. I said, really? I said, let me educate you. In England, you pay rent. If you don't pay rent by next week, I'll serve you a notice of seeking possession. After 4 weeks, I'll take you to court. The next time you see me, I'll be standing here by the bailiff to take the property from you. They pay rent. You pay rent. You have to go there and be proactive. Say, what do I need to do? And I told him what to do today. Sitting there telling me, don't pay rent. Oh, really? You will be homeless before you know it. So Ruth was very proactive and very resourceful. Ruth chapter 2, from verse 2 to 4. And it says, so Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. She wasn't going to sit at home and keep saying, oh, God, you need to visit me. They said you visited people and provided bread. So I'm here now, please visit. You're now my God, so please visit me. Please visit me and pray from now till thy kingdom come. She wasn't going to do that. She had to be proactive about her upgrade. If not, she would die. She would starve. She would starve. Herself and Naomi, they would starve. But she got up, proactively looked for something to do, and resourcefully did it. And you and I need to do that. Why do we call us church rats? Because a lot of believers are lazy. God will provide according to my needs in glory. God is not like that. You have to work. He says, by the work of your hand, a man shall eat. If you don't work, you will not eat. That is God for you. Abraham worked. He had shepherds. Jacob walked. Joseph walked. Daniel walked. Everybody, Jesus, though he was preaching, his father walked. He heard it. His father was a carpenter. God expects you and I to walk. Don't sit. The people that just sit there say, I'm praying for God to upgrade me. How many CVs have you sent? How many agencies have you contracted? I'm believing God that I'll write a book. Have you started? How many chapters? Have you even put pen to paper? Have you even researched on how to publish a book instead of believing God? God wants you to believe he will do it, but you have your part to play. It's the same thing. If you want God to upgrade you from being nothing to becoming a writer, to becoming the John Maxwell of this next generation, you have to get up and do the needful. You have to be resourceful. You have to be proactive. Just like the unbelievers will investigate and look for how it is done, the same way you will. If Pharaoh has sat down and said, I'm a producer, God will produce. God will produce. Trust me, that EP that is coming out on the 4th of October will not come out because God will be looking at him from heaven and saying, what do you take me for? Am I a magician? I put the vision there. I put the idea in your head. Get up, my son, and go and do something about it. That's what he expects you and I to do for the rest of our life. I'm all great to upgrade. We are not going to sit down and just believe this is it. He sent you a word because he knows that it's possible for us to be above what we are now. In the name of Jesus, amen. And if Ruth had not been proactive, she would never have met Boaz. If she was sitting in her mother-in-law's little hut where they were, she won't meet Boaz. It was because she took the initiative to go and look for work, she met the man that God destined to help her upgrade financially. And as soon as she met Boaz, Boaz told her what to do so that they will not lack anymore. Where to go and glean, what to take and what not to take. If she was sitting in her home, do you think she would have met Boaz? Even if, I know Boaz had a relationship with Naomi, he won't look at her twice and go, this woman, she came all the way and she's a leech. She's just siphoning things from my sister. I don't want anything to do with her. I should have missed her upgrade. If you take that first step, I can assure you God will send destiny helpers and divine helpers. That's what he did for Ruth, and he will do it for you. Diligence. Dr. Roberts dealt a lot with diligence. But also, right when I was reading Ruth, Ruth 2, chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, Ruth was very diligent in her work. Then he says, then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge, his foreman, who was in charge of the reapers, he said, whose young woman is that? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued for money until now. Though she rested a little in the house, she has continued. So she was diligent in her work. She asked for an opportunity, and an opportunity was given to her, and she did not fail in her diligence. If she was so diligent, the foreman noticed her. If she was just part of the pack, part of the crowd. Even if Boaz had asked, she's so beautiful with long hair and long nail and red painted lips, and Boaz said, oh, who is that beautiful woman? He said, oh dear me, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. She is so lazy. She doesn't want to do anything. Since she came, she's only gleaned a quarter of a basket. Do you think Boaz will look at her a second time? because she's not going to add value to his life. You're not going to add value. But because the foreman testified of her diligence, he was able. Boaz was able to single her out. I was going, oh gosh, yeah, me, I'm a single man. Oh yeah, that's a good one to know. That's a good one to have. That's a good one. Yeah, according to Pastor B, I pitched my tent with Pastor Eddie. And Boaz decided that's one to pitch my tent with. And the rest is history. She was upgraded. She was upgraded spiritually. She was upgraded financially. And she got a husband because she was diligent. Because she did not just sit. She did not sit and just waiting for manna to fall from heaven. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, be diligent in this matter. Give yourselves to them so that everyone may see your progress. It says, be diligent so that everyone will see your progress. If she hadn't been diligent, the foreman would notice her. He wouldn't be able to report to Boaz. And she wouldn't have ended up where she ended up. Whatever it is, no matter how little, no matter how great, at times we think the work we are doing is beneath us. But just be diligent. When the time comes, the glory and the lifter of our head will lift you up because you've been diligent in the little. Another thing is location. Location is also key to your upgrade. When a word comes, it's good to follow it to the end. You hear trumpet night. The word has come. And then for the next 4 Sundays, you're located somewhere else in your bedroom, or you decided, I don't need to fellowship with anybody. It's me, my big Bible, and the television. After all, T.D. Jake first. What's the other one? The different people, you know, from one pastor to another pastor, female pastor, male pastor. But the word that God has given you, has he given it to them? The word that came for you, God has given them a word for their people. So if you are not located where God has given you a word, you will miss out. You will miss out. Then maybe in 5 or 6 years' time, you say, oh. But Pastor Eddie said that we are going to be upgraded. More and more, faith to faith, glory to glory, grace to grace. I'm still here. Yes, you are there because you've chosen your location. You've chosen your location. Ofa, the sister-in-law, chose her location. That's why we don't hear about her today. She never went to the town where God visits and provides. She stayed with the Moabites and stayed with their stones and gods that don't hear. But Ruth and Naomi, they moved. They moved their location. In the first place, where Naomi located to, in the first place, in Moab, was against the will of God. That's why she never progressed. That's why it was catastrophic for her. But when she relocated to where God wants them to be, Bethlehem was a place, was part of the promised land. When she stayed there, things changed for her. Her Mara, when she stepped in and she was telling everybody, oh, God has been very mean to me. God took my husband, he took my 2 sons, God, no grandchildren, nothing. It's not God. You made the decision, and that's the consequence of the decision. You chose to relocate to where God did not send you. Like we always say, if he didn't order it, he won't pay for it. You chose to go, so you went, you left the covering of God to the covering of gods made of stones and sticks and woods. And that's what happened. But when they relocated, their location was key. As soon as they located back to Bethlehem, the land of bread, the land where God visits and makes provisions, the land where God upgrades his people, they began to experience upgrade. Hunger went. She met somebody that married her. She met somebody that had a child. And Naomi was there singing, "I thought I would never have a child. Who would have thought I would hold a grandchild to my bosom?" And every week the women came to rejoice with her and said, "You are blessed. You are blessed." It wasn't even Ruth anymore. It was Naomi. Everybody was saying, "You are blessed. God has blessed you indeed. God has favored you." That is because they changed their location. The word has come to you in this location. Sit and wait, because more and more instruction is going to come. We might move away from the month of upgrade to another month, next month. But God will still be speaking to you about your upgrade, about how you're going to walk in your upgrade throughout your lifetime. So it is important that you sit in the location where you received the word. Abraham was very good at that. When he receives a word, he will set up an altar. He will build an altar. He will name the altar to the God who spoke to him so that he will remember that location. When things are not doing so well, he will go back to that altar to call on the God. You have received the word. Your location is key because you know that God will speak to you. He has sent you a word, and he will continue to teach you. The Holy Spirit is there to teach you. The Holy Spirit is there to download more and more, give you revelation, give you discernment in the name of Jesus. Finally, it's mindset. Pastor is teaching us about mindset. So I can't even begin to go into that. But I just wanted to raise mindset. Ruth's mindset was very different from mindset of Naomi. Naomi was pity party. Always, God has been so mean to me. God has been so gracious. But you never heard Ruth. Ruth never complained. She also suffered great loss. At least Naomi has enjoyed having two children, even though they have now passed on. But she has enjoyed pregnancy as she has enjoyed childbirth. They grew up to adulthood. She saw them marry. Ruth was never going to experience that. But she never, ever, not one day, did she complain. Her mindset was different. I can just see her saying, "It can only get better. It can never be worse than this. Come on, let's go. They've said God visits. Come on, let's go to a location where God visits." Encouraging Naomi. Naomi was just Mara. It was bitter. It was, it's not good. It's not anything. But gradually, when she saw the way Ruth's mindset was, she started, although she was an older woman, Ruth's way started influencing Naomi. So she was now encouraging, and all, in the end, it flipped. She now became a mentor to Ruth, telling, because Ruth's attitude changed Naomi's mindset. And Naomi now became a mentor. She bought into Ruth's vision. She bought into what Ruth has seen. So she was now a mentor to Ruth and telling her, "Yes, go there, lie down there, touch him like this, do this. Yes, I'm ready to give you to birth." Our mindset, we should be people with mindset that people cannot change. Positive mindset that people cannot change. Instead, we should be the ones changing every negative mindset. When people tell you, upgrading it from where? There's recession. Can't you see XY Bank is letting go of 20 million? That shop is closing 50 shops. It's not for you. When God gave a word, it was unconditional. He didn't tell you that you will be upgraded on the condition that UK economy is good, on the condition that we Brexit or we remain. It's not conditional. That's why I said it's a prophetic upgrade. It's a prophetic word. It's not a word. If you're just in the world, yes, you look at the stock. When it goes up, your blood pressure goes down. When it goes down, your blood pressure goes up. Don't let that be your case. Be reliant on Jehovah God Almighty, the one who can do the impossible. The one who can make your vision and your dream come true. The one who can make you soar like an eagle. The one who can make a way where there's no way. The one who can open a door to you that no one can close. The one who has given you a new identity. The one who has given you a grace and enablement to be determined to do what he has asked you to do. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. All he asks of you is to be expectant. Do what he has asked for you. And like in Psalm 5, be expectant. When you wake up and you tell him, Lord, this is it. Today is me and you today. This upgrade, I'm going to be upgraded. The way I leave this house is not the way I'm coming back. Be expectant because he's there. He will answer you. He never sleep, he never slumber. He loves you beyond you can ever even imagine. He has given you a word. Hold on to the word. Don't let the enemy take your word from you. You can run with it. At the end, God will speak.